days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. What is this new covenant? What is the new thing that God is doing, that God will do, and that God has done? This whole Lent, we've been looking at how God calls us to worship. Why do we gather here Sunday after Sunday? Why are we here? We've seen that God wants us to worship him. He wants us to give him a sacrifice. And when we look back, God did the same thing with the people of Israel. God made a covenant with his people through Moses, in which they were to offer him sacrifice. And the greatest sacrifice that they were to offer was the Passover. But if that was then, what is it that he wants us to do now? What is the new thing that God is doing? What it means to be in the new covenant means that we are in a new Passover. But then, if that's the case, what is the new Passover lamb? Well, we saw at the end of last week's homily, as we journeyed and saw the Passover at the time of Jesus, that Jesus is doing something different. He's showing us something about himself. And there are two events in Jesus' life, at the end of his life, that express this very clearly. And we're about to even liturgically enter into these events in a very powerful and real way when we enter into Holy Week next week. The first of these is the Last Supper. The Last Supper he had with his disciples, which was the Passover. He had the Passover meal with his disciples. They went to the temple in the morning. The Passover lambs were sacrificed, and they brought and prepared all that was for the Passover. And as we saw, there were some changes that were made to the Passover over time as the people of Israel lived their faith. However, what was very clear is that the script that they had for the Passover, you were not supposed to mess with it. You're not supposed to change it. It was very well laid out. Remember last week we talked about the four cups, how that practice had developed where the meal was structured around these four cups of wine that were drunk. The first, the cup of sanctification beginning the meal. The second, the cup of proclamation that was had during the meal and while the Passover story was read. The third, the cup of blessing after the meal had been eaten. And the fourth, the cup of praise that concluded the meal. An interesting thing, though, about one of these cups, the cup of blessing, the third cup, was actually tied in the prayers that were said while it was being drunk, while it was being prepared, to the blood of the Lamb. Remember in the Passover, the first Passover, the Israelites took the blood of the Lamb and they poured it on the door, they applied it to the doorposts of their homes. And that was the sign. The blood was what kept them from experiencing death. And it is, as they say themselves in their prayers, what freed them from captivity and slavery. But when we look at the Last Supper, there's something very unique about it. See, Jesus, after the second cup, is supposed to then take up the bread. You remember there was an added blessing of bread and wine. He was supposed to take up the bread and say these prayers that begin, "Blessed are you, O Lord, God of all creation. You have given us the fruit of the earth." Talking about the bread. But he doesn't do that. And in fact, he does something very unique and very strange. He takes the bread, says the blessing, breaks it, and gives it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me." This is the account of St. Mark in his gospel. But then he takes the wine, which is the third cup in the structure of the Passover. And he says, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be poured out on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins." What is he trying to show us? What is new? Why did he change the script? The words over the bread, "This is my body." The unleavened bread, as well as the actual lamb itself, was a sign of God's promise, to save his people, to redeem them through the sacrifice of that lamb, that first Passover, that the Jews every year would remember liturgically in the Passover meal. But Jesus identifies the bread not with the lamb, but with his body. He says, "This is my body, which is given up for you." He is showing that he is the lamb, not the previous lamb. He is the new. And he has come to sacrifice himself. But why? He says, "This is my blood, which will be poured out for many." What does it mean to be poured out, the blood poured out? He's referencing how in that time, when the lambs were sacrificed, the blood was gathered and poured on the altar to cleanse it. It was an act of cleansing, of wiping away impurity. His blood, he is saying, will be poured out the same way for the same and deeper purpose, to cleanse. His blood is the new blood of the Lamb. The previous blood saved the people from physical slavery, but his blood is shed for a very different purpose. So we see, as he does this, goes through the rite of the Passover, of the Last Supper, he's doing something new and showing that he has come to be that lamb of sacrifice for us, for the forgiveness of sins, as he says. The people of Israel were saved from physical slavery, but they were still enslaved because of what Adam and Eve did at the very beginning. They were still slaves to sin, just as we all were. But Jesus comes and shows us in the Last Supper, "I have come to free you from that slavery. I have come to give you freedom that no one can take away from you. A freedom from sin and death and Satan." But that's not the only point. That's not the only new thing. He's showing us who he is there, but he makes it even more apparent at a later point. Because there is a mystery that happens here. Remember, there are four cups. But he doesn't drink the fourth cup. We have evidence that he drank the third, that cup of blessing, where he identified himself with the blood of the Lamb. However, what happens after that? So he's just drank the third cup, and then he says, "I tell you, from now on, I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father." And then they leave. And the disciples are probably looking at each other like, okay, like, when is this going to end? Are we just not going to finish? We're just not going to wrap this up? We're just going to walk out? Jesus leaves the Passover, the Last Supper, unfinished. What's he trying to show us? What is he doing? Why did he not drink the last cup? What do they do after he leaves? They go to the Mount of Olives. He, Peter, James, and John go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he goes aside to pray. And what does he pray? "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And further on he says, My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass without me drinking it, your will be done. When is he going to drink the cup? When is he going to finish this new Passover, this new thing that he is doing? If we remember, and we'll hear this on Good Friday during the Good Friday service, in the Gospel of John, there is a very unique event that happens while he is on the cross. After he talks to his mother and the disciple whom he loves, the scriptures say, After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, I thirst. There was a vessel filled with common wine, so they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he handed over the Spirit. When did Jesus drink the fourth cup? When did he finish, complete this new Passover, this new sacrifice? It was there on the cross, fulfilling the promise that God made, the new covenant, and giving us a new sacrifice that we offer. A new sacrifice that by his command, remember, do this in memory of me. We celebrate year after year, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, because he asked us, remember this sacrifice. The people of Israel were freed from Egypt and a tyrant on earth by the blood of the Lamb. But we, who are Christians, are freed from a much greater and more deadly slavery to sin and death because of the blood of the new Lamb. Remember what we say before communion. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. This is the supper of the Lamb. This is every time we come in this church, we partake of that sacrifice once again. That one sacrifice Jesus offered for us to show us he was the new Lamb, the new Passover, the Messiah, the one come to save us from the deadliest thing to humankind. He is the Lamb of God. And this week in Holy Week, we will see that even more clearly. I encourage you to look and to plan out your week, to really dive into the mysteries of Holy Week, because it's there, as we will see, played out liturgically through the scriptures, through the prayers, how Christ came to offer his body, his blood, as this new Passover lamb, to offer himself for us, to save us from something that we could not save ourselves from, to save us from unending death. Let us prepare our hearts for the coming feasts. Prepare for this Holy Week that is coming in just 7 days. Let us prepare ourselves to receive our Lord Jesus as that Lamb of God.